Please. Good morning. It's always a pleasure to be here in the cathedral. For those of you that I have not met, my name is Dan Smith, and I serve as canon to the ordinary. I'm here in the Diocese of Central Florida. I tell you, I'm in a congregation, a different congregation, almost every single week of my life. I always start my sermons by bringing you greetings from our bishop, but he's here, so I'm not going to skip. I'm going to skip that part. The cathedral, in many ways, even though Evelyn and I are not here that often, the cathedral is, in many ways, our home. And it's always special to be here. My mother was a part of the youth group here when she was a teenager at the old Orlando Senior High School. My mom and dad were married here before this altar. My dad was buried from here. I was ordained twice here and on these steps. And so it holds a special place. Before I leave today, I'll go out, right out those doors, and say hello to Mom and Dad, who are out there buried in the garden. And it's just so this place just simply holds a really special place in my life. And it is good to be back with you. But I don't want to go down memory lane today. That is not my purpose. We have too good of a gospel, I think, for us to simply spend time sharing old stories. Now, I have to tell you that context means just about everything to me. I pay attention to context. I pay attention to what's going on, when it's going on, how it's going on. I pay attention to where it is taking place. All of those things matter to me as I try to understand virtually any situation in my life, but it certainly holds true as I try to understand the scriptures. As I try to understand particularly the stories that we see from the Gospels, as I understand those, I try to pay attention to where it's taking place. When is it taking place? All of it matters to me. All of it matters in my understanding. And in fact, also in my understanding, it also matters when it's taking place in the course of the church year. Where are we on the calendar? The church, as it puts together these lectionaries and calls on us to read certain readings on any given Sunday, wants us to pay attention, wants us to learn something about where we are, when we are, as we read these scriptures. And I think that that's particularly true with this gospel lesson that we have before us today. So let's start with for just a moment or two about kind of where we are and even when we are. First of all, in the course of the church year, we're of course on the sixth Sunday of Easter. Easter season is rapidly coming to a close. This Thursday is the Feast of the Ascension. Now, I'm not going to try to step on anybody's sermon for Thursday, but the Feast of the Ascension is that time when Jesus, of course, ascends to be at the right hand of the Father, where he will sit in judgment to judge, as it used to say in the old prayer book, the quick and the dead. I've always liked that phrase. But it's, you know, we remember that and we see that. And so in some ways, we're remembering that we're getting ready to enter into what I think of as an in-between time, kind of in-between. Jesus has been with us. He's shared a life with us. He has, of course, been arrested and crucified, died for us, and rose again. But now he is getting ready to physically leave. Now, I don't want you to get an idea that I think Jesus is gone. You know, I mean, he lives in us and is a part of our lives. But he's getting ready to leave. And he's preparing, in some ways, his disciples for that. And we go into this in-between time after the ascension and before we celebrate Pentecost, which we'll celebrate in two Sundays. We're in that in-between time where in our own spiritual lives, I think we ought to be paying attention to that in-between time, that sort of wondering about what's next. We know what's been, and we can kind of begin to get a glimpse of what's out there, but we're in that in-between time. And I think it's important for us to remember that as we look at this gospel. And then we need to look at the context of the gospel itself. We're in the 15th chapter of the gospel according to St. John. Now, the 15th chapter is sort of right in the middle of what we think of as Maundy Thursday. John spends 4 or 5 chapters of his gospel talking simply about that day. He spends more time on that, what we think of as Thursday of Holy Week, than John does in any other part of the life of Jesus. He spends more time in that day. And so we need to recognize that John thinks the things that are there, the things that were said, the lessons that were taught, the actions that were taken, John sees those of immense importance. Immense importance. He sees them in that kind of way. And so here we are literally at the Last Supper, in the midst of the Last Supper, in this gospel lesson that we have before us today. Jesus is there with his friends. Now, Jesus, I believe, knows exactly what's going on. He has an understanding of what is taking place and what will, in fact, take place. And so Jesus speaks to his disciples and in some ways gives them those last instructions. Now, I know that we're going to read later on in John's gospel and any of the other gospels that there are times after the resurrection that Jesus is still teaching. But think about the intensity of this moment. Jesus knows what's getting ready to take place. He understands what's getting ready to take place. He understands the importance of this meal for him and his friends, as he names them in this gospel. And so he speaks words, I think, of wisdom, words of power, words that are important for his disciples to hear, words that in some ways are going to be living with them for the rest of their lives. Now, you and I know what that's like if we think about it for a few minutes. All of us in some ways or another have gone off on a journey of some sort of significance or getting ready to take place some event of some significance. Maybe it's the first day of school, or maybe it's just before we go to college, or maybe it's, you know, the day before we get married, or maybe it's the day before a first job or some new career change. Or maybe it's, you know, those times in our lives when there's something big getting ready to happen. I thought of people in the military, just as they're ready to go out on a mission, may get those last minute instructions. One of the real joys of my life is when we have ordinations here at the cathedral or anywhere for that matter, all the folks line up. And here we line up over in the great hall and everybody gets in line. It's a big long line. The choir and the ordinands and the clergy and all those folks. When I'm towards the back of the line always for some reason. I always go up to the ordinands and say, "Remember, this is fun. This is good." And I do that all the time. I will tell you that I even did that to Bishop Holcomb that before he was ordained. I walked up to him and said, "Remember, this is fun." Sometimes those last minute moments of instruction or advice or just love take place in a way that is powerful in our lives. And even more so, sometimes those last words that we hear from somebody before they, in fact, go away. Or they die. I was thinking this week of a sweet, wonderful woman who was in the very first congregation that I served, St. Sebastian's by the Sea, over in Melbourne Beach. And she was really very near death, literally lying on death's bed. And she wanted communion, so I took her communion, and then she wanted the prayers for the dying. She was really lucid and still having full conversations. And so I did the prayers for the dying as I administered Holy Communion. And after we got done, she said to me, she goes, "Father Dan, do you know what I'm praying these days?" And I said, "No, I don't." And she looked up at me and said, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Think of the power of that moment. Think of the power of that moment. I have not forgotten it. 43 years later, I have not forgotten that moment. She died that evening. But it's not so much, you know, the advice, it's the power of the moment. It's the love that was shared. Now let's head back to this gospel lesson. Let's head back to it, because it is, again, words of power in our lives. Remember that Jesus is there at the Last Supper. His departure is imminent. And Jesus is sharing those last moments with his friends. He has shared dinner, he's sharing words, and then later on in chapter 17, he will pray for them and pray for us. And Jesus begins to talk to them. In his last words of his advice, those final instructions are for not only for them, but they are for you and me. Jesus talks about love. Love is an important theme for John. The word love appears in John's gospel somewhere north of 50 times. No, I didn't count, I Googled it. But love is an important theme for John. He talks about the love that he has for his father, that he keeps his father's commandment and so lives in his father's love. And he talks about the love that he has for his disciples, and he asks them to keep his commandments so that they can continue to live in his love. There's almost a formula taking place here. Keep the commandments and I will love. Keep the commandments and you will love. Love is at the very center of what is going on. And so Jesus kind of builds this foundation in this conversation, and then Jesus gives them a commandment. And it's a commandment that we remember each and every Monday, Thursday. It's a commandment that we should hear often in our lives. You know, the reason Monday, Thursday is called that is because Monday comes from the Latin mandate, command. And so this is it. This is at the very core of what we celebrate on that day and what we are supposed to be hearing this day, the Sunday, before we go to the Feast of the Ascension. And listen to it. Love one another as I have loved you. Notice the words. They're different than how we usually think of it. We usually think about that person who goes to Jesus and says, "Tell me what the great commandment is." And Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And then what does he say? "And love your neighbor as yourself." Now, I don't know about you, but in my life, loving my neighbor as myself gives me some wiggle room. Right? I mean, it just does. You know, because there's times I don't like me very much. And so in some ways it gives me some wiggle room. But this on this Thursday night, this Last Supper, this has no wiggle room at all. Love one another as I have loved you. Now, I'm in trouble. Think about how Jesus loved. What was it that Jesus did that showed his love? We start with the fact that he came into the world at all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And then we take a look at the other places and the other ways that Jesus loved. He loved enough to be with a woman at the well, someone that he should not have been with. He loved enough to protect a woman from being stoned. He loved enough to heal. He loved enough to forgive. He loved enough to meet people where they were rather than waiting for them to get to him. He loved a rich young ruler so much that he let him go his own way. He loved enough to remove his clothing, wrap a towel around his waist, and wash the feet of his followers. He loved enough to die. He loved enough to defeat death. He loved powerfully and completely. He loves you that much. But then he tells us to love just as he did. And so I ask, as we move towards the Feast of the Ascension and towards the end of the Easter season, how are you loving? Is there someone you need to meet where they are rather than where you want them to be? Is there someone that you really do need to forgive, although you don't particularly want to? Is there someone you need to protect? Is there someone you need to love enough to pray for? Is there someone you need to love enough even to lay down your life for? And remember, sometimes we're called to lay down our life for 5 or 10 minutes at a time, to just totally give our attention to somebody else because they need it and because we love them. How is it that we move into this in-between time? We move into it by loving God, by loving one another, and remembering that we are called to love just as Jesus loved. That is who we are. We are to love as he loved. The bar is high. Get over it. Amen.